It is Wednesday. It's 9 February. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Midweek CG Report. Medical kidnapping. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, got a couple tragic accidents to report to you from The Sun, February 2nd. Alexandros Lampis, dead at 21. Greek footballer dies after cardiac arrest with no defibrillator or ambulance at stadium. A Greek football player has died at age 21. Sad circumstance. I wonder what could have caused that. From the Post-Gazette, February 3rd, a day after getting dream coaching job, Southmoreland's Ron Frederick dies unexpectedly. Frederick, a 1999 Southmoreland graduate, had interviewed for Southmoreland's vacant football position Tuesday. On Wednesday, he was informed that he would be recommended candidate to be hired at a school board meeting next week. But Frederick died suddenly early Thursday of unknown causes. My guess is they said, well, you need to be vaccinated to take this job. And he says, oh, he rushed down there and he got it and over he keeled. Could be completely wrong, but it doesn't say. And when it doesn't say, it usually means something like that. From the Herald Guide, man dies after developing autoimmune disease from vaccine. No, say it isn't so. A man with local ties died after doctors said his second COVID vaccine caused an immune response that led to the development of an autoimmune disease. His name was Brandon Pullett, 33 years old. From 100% Fed Up, fully vaccinated 31-year-old fitness trainer and mother of 7-year-old dies during nap, something that seems to be rather common lately, nap death. A 31-year-old fully vaccinated fitness trainer has died while taking a nap. Her family suspects her heart stopped while she was sleeping. Katie Novak, a St. Louis Park, Minnesota resident and mother of 7-year-old boy. Bye, Katie. From My Twin Towers, I don't know what else to do or where to even go from here. COVID-19 vaccine to blame for Southern Tier man's death. According to the Bradford County Deputy Coroner, a rare complication, which I would say it's not so rare anymore, a rare complication to the COVID-19 vaccine turned deadly for the Watts family of Lockwood. Their son, George Watts Jr., died at just age 24 after receiving the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. Actually, he did not receive the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, because if he did, he wouldn't be in the United States of America, because they have never properly released it in the U.S. Because he wanted to take his classes in person, George Jr. needed to be fully vaccinated. He scheduled his vaccine appointment, received his first shot of Pfizer in August, which means it couldn't have been the BioNTech, because in August it didn't exist, and his second in September. Again, didn't exist. His parents said he chose that vaccine because it was fully approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Actually, that's incorrect, as we've seen again and again and again. He received an experimental vaccine that had no liability for the makers of the vaccine. The BioNTech that was approved is in foreign countries or not even available there in most cases. There's no liability for these people. This person died and they have no legal recourse because Pfizer BioNTech and the U.S. government killed their son. After his first dose, George Jr. experienced complications, which he chose to keep to himself. According to his parents, blood was in his urine after the first shot. He then received his second dose in mid-September, where he experienced flu-like symptoms that did not resolve. I'll give you a clue here. If you get a vaccine and you start having blood in your urine, don't get a booster shot, okay? That's my recommendation to you. I feel bad for the family, but, you know, this is just bad news all around. From Golf News, UAE Golf mourns loss of promising youngster Viggo Sørensen. The Danish 17-year-old, who was the reigning Emirates Golf Federation Order of Merit winner, suffered a cardiac arrest and went into a coma. He was ready to head to the United States on a scholarship, and we were vetting schools. Okay, If he was coming to the United States of America, he had to be fully vaccinated. So my guess is that there must be some type of connection between the two. All speculation. From the Epoch Times, that's the end of the death shot, the COVID death shot for the week. Just a couple of them to keep you apprised of what's going on. There are many, 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 many more people that have keeled over because of this shot in the past week. From the Epoch Times, Australia to open borders to international tourists at the end of February. That's right here. So you can go to Australia. No, not necessarily. Fully vaccinated status to remain at two jabs. That is not opening the borders. I would never go to Australia as long as they had a vaccine requirement for this shot. Okay, that's not going to happen. And you can make your decision if you want to fly off to Australia or not, but you've got to be fully vaccinated. Epoch Times. Papua New Guinean Prime Minister tests positive to COVID-19 during trip to Winter Olympic opening ceremony. That's just this 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Papua New Guinea Prime Minister James Marape has tested positive for COVID-19 upon arriving in Beijing on February 3rd. Okay, so it was, let's see, 6 days ago, February 3rd for the opening of the Winter Olympic Games. From Government PG, that's Papua New Guinea, their website, the Government of Papua New Guinea, 25 January. So from 25 January to 3 February is what, like 8 days or something? Prime Minister Honorable James Marape has yet again led by example when he received his COVID-19 booster vaccine today. 25 January, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31 plus 3 is what? That's 6. Plus 3, anybody? You got it. 9. There you go. 9 days after getting his booster shot, he has COVID. Gateway Pundit Bill Maher asks, I'm just asking, how much wrong do you get to be while still holding the default setting for people who represent the science? Gateway Pundit. Country with one of the highest vaccination rates has highest number of COVID deaths per million people this week. 80% of serious cases are fully vaccinated. Okay, what country are we talking about? Yes, you got it. How can you, have you been reading my notes lately? Because you've been getting a lot of these. Israel. 10 days ago, an expert panel in Israel recommended a, yes, fourth dose of the COVID vaccine to protect the people from the coronavirus, which it doesn't protect you from it, so that's stupid right there. According to the data from Reuters, Israel has administered at least 17,879,314 doses of COVID vaccines so far. Assuming every person needs two doses, that's enough to have vaccinated about 98.7% of the country's population. But it doesn't seem to be helping. Israel now has the highest COVID number of COVID deaths per 1 million people in the Middle East? In Middle East and Europe? No, in the entire world. The whole world. Maybe the fish shot will do the trick. Get them another shot, boost them up some more. And then they follow up with an update. And 80% of the serious COVID cases in the country are fully vaccinated. Okay, that's the Gateway Pundit. They're a bunch of right-wing extremists and they don't know what they're talking about. They just make stuff up. So I decided to include another article right from Israel, from Aretz Shiva. 80% of serious COVID cases are fully vaccinated, says Ichilov Hospital Director. Are Israeli hospitals really overloaded with the unvaccinated COVID patients? According to Professor Yaakov Jaris, director of Ichilov Hospital's coronavirus ward, the situation is completely the opposite. In case you don't know what that means, you say these are all unvaccinated that are in the hospital, and completely the opposite means that it's the vaccinated. Got that? The opposite. That's completely opposite. Right now, most of our severe cases are vaccinated. They had at least three injections. Between 70 and 80% of the serious cases are vaccinated. So the vaccine has no significance regarding severe illness, which is why just 20 to 25% of our patients are unvaccinated. LifeSite News. Vaccinated people are a majority of COVID cases, hospitalizations, and deaths in Australian state. So this isn't just an Israel problem, like they just got a bad batch or something. Australian state as well. Vaccinated people are the vast majority of COVID-19 cases and deaths in Australia's largest state, driving the worst surge in New South Wales since the onset of the virus. According to the latest COVID surveillance report of the New South Wales Health, a record spike in cases since the emergence of Omicron late last year has been overwhelmingly linked to the vaccinated. We have seen this in so many countries so many times that it's no longer really worth reporting, but I'll continue to report it just so that you're aware of it and you don't forget, because it's easy to forget stuff. And I know why it is. It's because you spend so much time reading your Bible that you don't have time for other things, less essential things. So I'm very proud of you for reading your Bible. Continue to do that, and I'll continue to remind you of these things. Between November 26, 2021 and January 8, 2022, around 90%, that's more than 10%. It's not 100%, but it's definitely more than 10%. 90% of the people in the state who tested positive for coronavirus and whose vaccination status was known had received two effective doses of a COVID vaccine. I would say they received two ineffective doses, because these vaccines don't do anything except cause people to die. New South Wales Health defines cases with two effective doses as having a second jab at least 14 days prior to known exposure to COVID-19 or arrival in Australia. When excluding children under 12, get this, who are ineligible for the vaccines, double vaccinated people were a stunning 98% of cases with known vaccination history. The unvaccinated, by contrast, were less than 1%. So they're almost at 100% of the cases being vaccinated people. From the Gateway Pundit, business down 40% at restaurants in Minneapolis overnight after Democrat mayor imposes vaccine passport system. Liberals have no brains at all. All there is a bunch of lard squishing around up in their heads, because they just don't understand the world in which we live. They're not doing the research. They're not checking things out. And in fact, they're destroying their communities around them. It's just like they talks about the bad wife in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, that tears the house down around her. That's what liberals are, bad wives, even if they're husbands. Newsmax mayor, and that's a paraphrase, Charlie Garrett paraphrase. I wasn't trying to quote that, but that's basically what it says, okay? Newsmax mayor, protests against vaccine mandates paralyzing Canada's capital city. Newsflash for the mayor. That is the whole point. That is the whole point. Mail Online. Unvaccinated and divorced Canadian father is barred from seeing his three children, one with non-cancerous tumors, after repeatedly refusing to get the COVID shot. Okay, poor guy can't see his family, but he's still alive, and he's not going to be one of these statistics if he continues to refuse the vaccine. So do what you want with your life. Get your vaccines. I won't complain about it. We've got vaccinated people right here in the church. But I am here to tell you what the news says, and this is what the news says, and I would recommend that you think first before doing this. From the Times of Israel, Turkey's Erdogan. What about Erdogan? He's such a nice guy. Turkey's Erdogan, yeah, says he tested, not Erdogan. He tested positive for COVID-19, has mild symptoms. Guess what? From the Sunday Times, June 4th, 2021, President Erdogan received third dose. Oh, Erdy, you got COVID, buddy. I guess those vaccines didn't do any good for you at all. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post completely avoid John Hopkins study finding COVID lockdowns were ineffective. No surprise there. From Breitbart, cost of lockdown. Record number of children seek severe, not just mild, severe mental health treatment in Britain. Ruining our children, one little lockdown, one little mask at a time. They're not even susceptible to this for the most part. Like 99.9999999%, not going to get it. And if they do get it, they'll go, ha-choo, and it's done. And they're doing this to their children. TMX, Heather McDonald collapses on stage, suffers skull fracture. You know, normally I wouldn't care about this, but we know that she's a liberal and she's been vaccinated. But more than that, it's what she said and the timing after she said it. Comedian Heather McDonald fell hard during a show in Tempe, Arizona, but it was no joke. It was a medical emergency. Eyewitnesses tell TMZ the former Chelsea Lately star was headlining the sold-out show when she delivered her second joke. I'm vaxxed, double vaxxed, boosted, and flu shot and single shot, and I haven't got COVID, and Jesus loves me most. Kerplunk, down she went, fracturing her skull. I wonder what caused that to happen. Gateway Pundit. FDA quickly deletes Moderna vaccine data showing rate of heart inflammation for young men. Okay, so we've got this problem where the FDA put up something and then they quickly took it down. So what happened a couple days later? LifeSite, FDA deletes, then restores data showing increased heart inflammation for young men after Moderna shot. The Epoch Times noted that at least one portion of the document was altered before it was restored online. The initial version of the SBRA said that a scheduled communication and a scheduled meeting between regulators and Moderna were canceled, but it didn't explain why. The outlet reported, adding that the updated system says Moderna canceled the meetings. The Epoch Times, and I hope that they get this, the Epoch Times has since submitted Freedom of Information requests for a meta-analysis referenced in the document, along with the original SBRA and communications regarding the document, because they didn't just falsify one thing. They've probably falsified a lot more. So the Epoch Times is getting in there and trying to figure out what's going on so that you are informed. From The Blaze, Horowitz. The Pentagon's response to the explosive DOD medical data is an even bigger story than the data. We reported on the data before. Now the Pentagon's response. What do you think it is? Oh, these are good numbers, and we're very sorry that we've been vaccinating people that didn't need to be vaccinated, and we've caused many of them to get all kinds of medical problems. That was not their response. One thing is clear about the revelation of the 2021 military epidemiological data and the military's response to it. There is undoubtedly a public health and national security crisis in the military, no doubt about it. And the Pentagon's reaction only seems to be concerned with exonerating the vaccine, not fixing its own alleged problem. You know, it's now dangerous. It's no longer that, you know, you're in the military and you could go off to war and die. It is now dangerous to simply be in the military. Be a spouse of a military person or a child that needs to get vaccinated to go off to Korea or whatever. Okay, it is now dangerous to simply be a member of the U.S. military in several ways. The first one is this: you're medically liable to die because of what they've been pumping into the people there. Young, healthy people are the ones that are most targeted by this, and it's killing our military. So we got a problem there. But we've got another problem, which is dangerous to be in the military, is that if you have any brain at all, if you have any sense about the government, about patriotism, about duty and honor, and doing what is right, you are now a target by your superiors within the U.S. military. This starts at the president. Well, the guy that's in the White House, and it goes all the way down. Anybody that shows allegiance to what is morally right, what is morally sound, what is patriotic, and advancing the goals of the Constitution, we'll say, of the United States of America, is now a target. It is dangerous for people to be in the military under these circumstances, unless they're willing to just put aside everything that they believe in and say, well, I'm just going to go with the punches so I can get my paycheck every week. It is now dangerous to be a member of the United States military. It's now certain that the military's health surveillance system, DMED, showed a massive increase in sickness and injury diagnoses in 2021 over previous years, especially the neurological, cardiovascular, oncological, and reproductive health categories. We talked about all of that a couple weeks ago, maybe last week. The military, in a very terse and cryptic statement to PolitiFact last week, admitted as much, but claimed without any further explanation that the data in the system accessed by several military doctors working with attorney Thomas Rentz was only a fraction of the true numbers that existed. In the words of the Pentagon spokesman, it was a glitch in the database where those true numbers existed. Why they weren't in the system for 5 years, what exactly was in the system, and why the 2021 numbers were accurate, according to the DOD account, remain a mystery. However, one by one, the military public officials have been adding back random numbers to the 2016 through 2020 codes. I'm told by Rents and two of the whistleblowers that throughout the past week, they have queried the same data again. And in most of the ICD categories, they have found that the numbers from 2016 through 2020 were increased exponentially to look as though 2021 was not an abnormal year. So they didn't deny that the numbers in 2021 were correct, but what they did is they went back and they are falsifying the previous years, raising the numbers arbitrarily to bring it up to the same level as 2021. This has been done without any transparency, any press release, any statement of narrative, and sloppily in a way that makes the already unbelievable narrative simply impossible to believe. In addition to believing that the epidemiological report for 5 years was somehow completely tainted with false data, including during the first year of the pandemic itself, we would have to believe that the minute they discovered this from Rents, they suddenly discovered the exact numbers. A 5-year mistake fixed overnight. Just take a look at the following statement given to the Epoch Times, the only other public comment delivered by an authorized Pentagon spokesman. Spokesman? Isn't that racist? Isn't it supposed to be like spokesperson or spokespeople's or something like that? Okay, anyway, authorized Pentagon spokesman. Comparing the DMED database to the source data contained in the DMSS, AFHSD discovered that the total number of medical diagnoses from 2016 through 2020 that were accessible in DMED represented only a small fraction of actual medical diagnoses for those years. In contrast, the 2021 total number of medical diagnoses were up to date in DMED. Comparison of 2021 to 2016 through 2020 resulted in the appearance of significant increased occurrence of all medical diagnoses in 2021. Because of the underreported data for 2016 through 2020, AFHSD has taken DMED offline to identify and correct the root cause of the data corruption, said Major Charlie Dietz. That's it. They are only concerned with downplaying any potential culpability of the vaccine, not explaining how they were flying blind, according to their official narrative, on such an important endeavor for so many years. Just consider the fact that at last week's meeting of the CDC's ACIP, officials revealed that they have been monitoring vaccine safety data from, here it goes, the DOD, among other places. You know what that means. The CDC was looking at data for months, that showed insane safety signals and did nothing about it. And somehow nobody in the HHS or the DOD all along thought the data was a glitch. Moreover, the DOD's new data, as presented on Rents' website, that was somehow updated so quickly, is impossible to believe for a number of other reasons. We are being sold a lie from the highest levels of the U.S. government, including the U.S. military, the one branch of government that is there to protect and defend the United States of America from anything like this. Is now involved in this. This is now a conspiracy of all areas of government. This is now a conspiracy of all levels and all areas of government. It's no longer, well, the military is going to do their own thing and we'll work without them. The military is actively working against the people of the United States of America. They are subverting the health of the people that are in the U.S. military. They're reducing the effectiveness of the U.S. military, and now they're trying to cover it up because some lawyer found out the truth about what's going on. There is a cover-up at the highest levels of the military organization in our nation. Unbelievable. From JTN, heightened terrorism advisory over misleading COVID election narratives issued by DHS. If you don't believe the narrative that they are selling you and you speak out against it like I am right now, or concerning the election which was stolen from Donald Trump, if you don't go with their narrative, you are now on a terrorism advisory. Imagine that. The DHS said the U.S. is facing a heightened threat environment due to false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories online. Now, listen, everything that I have read you today came out of reputable news services, and I've backed up a couple of them with other news services to show that what was said in this supposedly nutty right-wing was substantiated in Israel itself. At least one article, I might have done it with two. And they are saying that these are false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories online. Now, I don't know if they're saying that about everybody or just some people that actually do make a lot of stuff up. I'll agree with that. But is that a terrorism threat for somebody to say something that's stupid? You tell me. DHS Secretary Mayorkas, who ought to be in prison? He ought to be arrested, he ought to be tried, and he ought to be convicted. And that guy should never, ever see the light of day again. Mayorkas explained that the department is reviewing its NTAS bulletin primarily due to an increase in false information. The U.S. remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories, and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation. They call it MDM. Introduced and or amplified by foreign or, here it is, domestic threat actors. Mayorkas wrote, adding that the actors seek to sow discord and, here, listen to this, undermine public trust in government institutions. After what we just read about what the Pentagon is doing, what the U.S. military is doing, where is the trust? You tell me. Undermine public trust in government institutions. There is no trust. There is no trust in the U.S. government. I wouldn't trust them as far as they could send me a tax return. I'm telling you, they are completely unreliable in every branch of the government now. The commies, the Marxists, they have all come in. They've all, this guy Mayorkas, Commie Central. These people are bad, bad people. They are bad people. Again, undermine public trust in government institutions to encourage unrest. Nobody's encouraging unrest. They're getting people informed. They're getting people to know what is going on. I'm not telling anybody, we got to go out and start blowing things up. Nobody's saying that. I don't know anybody that's saying that. I've never watched a video that said that we should do that. We should protest. We should take action. We should vote these people out of office and everything else that we should be doing. But this is their way of targeting people that simply want to have a voice. Examples of misinformation, according to the Biden administration, include narratives about election fraud and COVID-19. The election was stolen. There is no doubt about it. Dinesh D'Souza's got a movie coming up on it, and that'll be a highlight, and they'll probably prosecute him again like they did before, and Trump had to go pardoning the poor guy because he didn't do anything wrong. He made a movie, but they're going to target people like that. I will say it adamantly. That election was stolen. And they're going to try the same thing again and again and again. They have the initiative. They have the control of power. They are the ones that will ruin this nation simply to further their communist agenda. That's what's coming. Anyway, from the Epoch Times, Dr. Ryan Cole, clinical studies needed as uptick in cancers observed after COVID-19 vaccine rollout. This is not a lunatic. This is a guy that has done a great deal of work in his field of expertise, and he happened to notice something. Dr. Ryan Cole, pathologist and founder of Cole Diagnostics, says that he is observing a concerning pattern of certain cancers after the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines and that rigorous studies need to be conducted. In the laboratory, I'm seeing an uptick in cancers that I shouldn't be seeing at rates I shouldn't be seeing in age groups I shouldn't be seeing. Cole, who examined about 40,000 biopsies a year, I'd say he knows about cancer if he's done 40,000 biopsies every single year, said he first noticed an increase in a contagious skin disorder. It's called molluscum contagiosum in older adults that were part of the first group to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Molluscum contagiosum, normally seen in children, is a viral skin infection that causes small, round, firm bumps with a small dimple in the middle caused by a pox virus. The skin disorder is not painful, but can cause itchiness and spreads via skin-to-skin contact with an infected individual or from touching contaminated things. The infection in children with a healthy immune system usually clears up on its own, and by the time you're in your tweens or teens, your immune system keeps it in check. So I saw that bump. I saw that immune dysregulation. I thought, Houston, we have a problem, because that line of cells, that line of T cells that keeps viruses in check, that family of cells that also keeps cancers in check, T cells, also called T lymphocytes, are a type of white blood cell that plays an important role in keeping people healthy by protecting them from infection. As part of the adaptive immune system, T cells circulate in the body searching for viruses or cancer cells and killing them. They also indirectly help in fighting cancer by organizing an immune response. Soon after noticing the disturbing trend of the skin disorder, Cole began observing an uptick in cancer. In his travels across the country giving presentations, Cole has met other doctors who echo his observations. So it's not just one lone voice out there. This guy is speaking and he says there's other doctors that have noticed this. One radiation oncologist told him, "I am seeing cancers that we normally keep in check. And we know we can manage this cancer and the patient will get 2, 3, 5, 6 good years of life. But they got their shot or they got their booster, and then 2 months later, their cancer is a wildfire." Cole says the pattern he was seeing with cancer and the skin disorder was likely due to a combination of people not seeing their doctor during the lockdown, which is possible, and the time frame in which people were getting vaccinated. A Netherlands study helped explain the elevation of cancers that he was observing in his laboratory, so the Netherlands understands what's going on as well. They say there was a really good paper by Dr. Fozzi et al. Out of the Netherlands looking at the Pfizer vaccines, and they did a pretty good analysis of the immune system after the shots. And their conclusion was alarming and concerning in the sense that it said, "We're seeing an alteration of the innate immune response." The authors of the study concluded that the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine induces the effects on both the adaptive and the innate branch of immunity and the reprogramming of innate immune responses. Bad stuff's going on here. Zero Hedge. Attorneys report spike in calls for help from families of patients hospitalized with COVID-19. Why would that be? Attorneys around the country report an alarming uptick in calls for help from families of patients hospitalized with COVID. Some say they've talked to family members who were arrested after trying to visit a loved one to speak with a doctor after communications with the hospital were cut off. Attorneys told the Epoch Times about a wide variety of instances of what they call abuse, including hospitals preventing visits from family, failing to provide nutrition and fluids, and coercing patients to agree to treatments they've already refused multiple times, such as being placed on a ventilator. Gainesville, Florida attorney Jeff Childers has been so alarmed by the cases he's seen, he posted a tutorial online with tips on how to navigate the legalities surrounding hospitalization with COVID-19. When his office gets calls from concerned family members, the patient in question is already on a ventilator, and the family is desperately concerned about treatment. In many cases, the hospitals have refused to release the patient, citing their unstable condition, meaning that at some point it can become impossible to get off the COVID express. The most common complaints we get include that patients are being pressured to accept remdesivir and have been given remdesivir even though they objected to it, or the hospital will not administer alternative widely used treatments even though the patient is in critical condition where side effects are less risky than imminent death. I know this is true. because we had somebody that attends the Superior Word go through this just recently. His family would not sign the authorization for remdesivir. Okay, they wouldn't sign it. They were pressured. They were asked. They said, we'll be back in an hour. You have to make a decision. He said, I want to check with specialists, etc. He did. They saved his life because they did not allow the hospital to conduct the treatment. If they did, he would be dead right now. There is no doubt about this. I have personally seen hospitals spend tens of thousands of dollars on lawyers to keep patients in their facility. Childers was one of the attorneys who took on Mayo Clinic Florida in court, hoping to help the family of Daniel Pisano try medications they believed would help him. Mayo Clinic attorneys fought back rigorously. They're fighting to keep somebody in the hospital and on the wrong treatment. Tell me that makes sense. The Pisano family also had tried to arrange to transfer the 70-year-old grandfather and businessman to a hospital where he could receive the medications an outside doctor had said could save him. Pisano passed while the family was still fighting to obtain the alternative medications for them. So they killed him. They killed the guy because they wouldn't allow him to try something else. He's going to die. They know he's going to die. They won't allow anything else. The man dies. That is what we would call in any normal society murder. I call it medical kidnapping, Childers said. This isn't over by a long shot, he added, alluding to a continuation of the fight with Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic Florida has not responded to repeated requests for comments on the case, and hospital attorneys asked judges on multiple occasions to, guess what, seal the documents that would reveal their arguments. They want their what they have done. They're culpable in murder, and they want that sealed up so nobody can get to it. Another hospital in Naples, Florida, had two sisters arrested when they came to the facility seeking a visit with their father or a conversation with his doctor. The hospital stopped responding to the family's request for updates on their loved one when they started asking about alternative treatments, Boatman said. Ultimately, the women, who briefly spent time in jail for the offense, decided it would put their father's care at risk if they filed a lawsuit. Attorney Esther Bodek in Aurora, Colorado, also knows of a patient's family members who were arrested when communications with a hospital went sour. She says requests from families of COVID-19 patients have flooded in since November. It's traumatizing because it is a level of civil rights abuses that I have never encountered in my entire life. In case after case, she's seen a pattern of separating COVID-19 patients from their families and restricting visitation. And during that period of time is usually when the remdesivir is administered. Some families coming to her for help often strenuously object to the treatment with remdesivir. When other treatments have failed, they desperately want to try things the hospital will not allow, such as ivermectin and vitamins. Those are part of a popular protocol used by independent doctors around the country and by people treating themselves at home. Bodek has fought many times to obtain those medications as a last-ditch effort to save a patient. She said the resistance she faces when dealing with the hospitals is maddening. Any question about treatment starts immediate combativeness by the hospital staff. From what I've seen in the pattern of our cases, she had clients denied fluids and nutrition to the point of near starvation. Since taking those cases, she works night and day, 7 days a week. On the weekend, I'll be on the phone and talking to somebody in tears. The hospital's telling them they want to pull the plug, and they're trying to make a decision. The doctor says, we're going to take him off life support now. And I've had to say, no, that's not their choice. One of her clients works in billing in a hospital and told that her hospital receives, oh, here it is. The last two lines explain exactly why this is all going on. Here it is. Hospitals receive a bonus payment of $17,000 from the federal government for every patient confirmed to have COVID-19, Bodek said. A bonus payment of $37,000 is paid for any patient going on a ventilator. And she works in a hospital billing, so she would know, Bodek added. $37,000 is the price of a human life to hospitals nowadays. If they can keep you in there, you get sick enough, eventually they're going to say, well, the lungs are failing. I'm sorry, we're going to have to put this person on a ventilator or this person is going to die. and then they get their $37,000 check. They're murdering people in the hospitals of the United States of America. And I know this is true. I know that this is true because I saw it with my own eyes. Actually, I heard it with my own ears because the family was calling me to react and interact with a doctor, which I finally hooked them up with, and that person saved this individual's life. If they had signed that document, he would not be alive right now. That is certain, because they would have gotten their $37,000. From the Daily Wire, how the federal government used evangelical leaders to spread COVID propaganda to churches. I'm not going to read you the article. It's way long. But if you want to know how evangelical leaders in the United States of America were used as shills by the government, read that article. I'll give you the title again. Daily Wire, how the federal government used evangelical leaders to spread COVID propaganda to churches. It's just too long. There's nothing to cut out and make it shorter where it'll be interesting to you. So you'll need to just sit down and read that. Or better yet, keep reading your Bible. Okay, from Alex Berenson. Natural immunity for the win yet again. A new report in the Journal of American Medical Association finds more good news for unvaccinated people who have already had and recovered from COVID. That's me. I had it, and I recovered from it. Anti-spike protein antibodies following COVID infection and recovery seem to persist indefinitely in unvaccinated people, researchers found. People tested 20 months after coronavirus infection had slightly higher levels of antibodies on average than those just after infection. In contrast, spike protein antibodies in uninfected people who have received mRNA vaccines are known to decline at a rate of up to 40% a month. The authors also found that 99% of the 295 unvaccinated people they tested who had a confirmed COVID infection had measurable anti-spike proteins. Nearly all of them also had antibodies to another part of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the nucleocapsid. People who are vaccinated do not have those nucleocapsid antibodies. The study provides evidence at the cellular level supporting the epidemiological data showing that people who have recovered from COVID, once again, that's me, I recovered, have far better protection from future infection than vaccinated people. What remains unclear is how long-term immunity in people who have been vaccinated, lost their artificial immunity, and become infected will compare to those who were infected and recovered without being vaccinated. They don't know the results of that yet. What they mean is you get vaccinated and then you get COVID anyway because you're going to, and then you recover. Do you have the same level as people that were never vaccinated? My guess is no. My guess is that their systems have been destroyed to a point where they will never reach the same level of tolerance against future COVID as people that have been unvaccinated. But what do I know? I have no idea about these things. That's just a guess, seeing how this has affected every other part of people's bodies that have had that junk put into them. Okay, from LifeSite. It's a kick in the gut. Listen to this. This is almost the irony of ironies. Navy chaplain. Okay, a Navy chaplain does what? Cook? No, he's not a cook. He, what, flies airplanes and blows things up? No, he doesn't do that. A Navy chaplain is a person that is a chaplain in the Navy. Okay? Navy chaplain denied religious exemption after 20 years of service. A U.S. Navy chaplain was among sailors recently denied religious exemptions. Religious exemptions. He's a Navy chaplain from the COVID-19 vaccine mandate by the DOD. Speaking to Fox News, the chaplain, who wished to remain anonymous, faces the loss of his retirement benefits after almost 20 years in the Navy. It's a kick in the gut for sure, he said. If I lose retirement benefits by being discharged, that would be a pretty significant burden to me and my family. At the same time, this is a fight worth fighting. I do not think this is a lawful order. The chaplain said he received a rejection letter from Vice Admiral John B. Noel Jr. stating that Vice Admiral should be taken out by the President of the United States. The next president, which is going to be Trump, hopefully, when he wins, he needs to get rid of all of these people. They have betrayed the people below them. They're scared of their jobs and the people above them. And so they're signing these letters. This vice admiral, I don't care if he's the best vice admiral in the world as far as making ice cream. They need to get rid of this person and all of them that have done this to our military servicemen. Your request for religious accommodation through waiver of immunization request is disapproved. While every sailor is welcome to express a religious choice or none at all, our greater mission, this is the chaplain's mission. This is his mission. Our greater mission sometimes requires reasonable restrictions. What, you mean pump our military so full of stuff that they start having medical problems higher than ever in the history of the U.S. military? Is that what their priority is? I think so. You have my sincere best wishes for your continued success in your naval career, the letter concluded. That means he's getting kicked out, and I want to wish you continued success in your naval career. Bad things are happening. It's just terrible. Okay, it must be an election year. Last couple articles for you. Mail Online. Governor Gavin Newsom announces he is lifting California's indoor mask mandate for vaccinated residents from next week. But people who haven't had the shot, who are all not going to vote for him anyway or anybody else on his party, will need to keep their faces covered. MSN. School mask mandates are falling in states across the Northeast. The Democrat governors of New Jersey, Connecticut, and Delaware will lift mask requirements for schools in the coming weeks, reflecting a nationwide shift away from restrictions as coronavirus caseload numbers fall and political pressures for a return to normalcy arise. Political pressures. It's an election year. Political pressures from OPB. Oregon Health Authority to lift indoor mask mandate by end of March. Oh, they'll forget about it by the time the elections come. And then as soon as the elections are over and they've got all these liberals back into power, the people are going to be, you know, locked down or whatever all over again. These people have tasted power. They want to keep it. And they're not going to keep it if they keep masks on people that don't need them. And so they'll get rid of that for a while. There will always be something with these people in the future. Never, never vote Democrat. If you do, you might as well just go to China, go to Russia, and live there, okay? These people are communists, and all they want to do is to completely control this nation. They're liars, they're hypocrites, they are bad people. These are bad people, these are not good people. They need to be voted out of office, and they need to never be elected in again. Please, use your sense. And I'd like to tell you something before we close. I do this every week. It's important that I do this, is that you need something beyond this terrible earthly life. I mean, these people will probably get elected in because people are so stupid nowadays. They can't make right decisions. They can't see what's going on. They're unwilling to see what's going on. And so this is the life that we're going to be faced with until the Lord comes. And yes, the Lord is coming. And so we need to be ready for that day. If you're watching a lot of prophecy updates and you don't have a right relationship with the Lord, you aren't going to be taken when he comes. I'm sorry. Watching prophecy updates does not save you, okay? You can know all of the prophecy in the world and be no closer to Jesus than you are right now, okay? You need to know what is going on with your eternal state. And that can only be determined by knowing Jesus Christ personally, by yielding to him and allowing him to save you. And how do you do that? The Bible's so simple. God sent his son into the world to live the life that you cannot live. He gave that life up in exchange for your sins. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Christ died for your sins, meaning you're a sinner. Christ was buried, meaning he was in the grave with your sins. Christ rose again. He came out of the grave. But if he had sin of his own, he never would have come out of the grave because the wages of sin is death. He'd still be there. He came out of the grave. Praise God. He came out of the grave because he had no sins. And so what happened is he came out of the grave. He now offers you life in the new covenant where you're not imputed sins. And guess what? All of your sins were left in the grave. He came out. If he had your sins still on him, he wouldn't have come out of that grave. The whole point is that Jesus Christ did everything to save you. And you are saved when you believe that simple gospel message. That's all God wants from you. He doesn't want you to have to go to church. You should, if you have a good church to go to. If not, I know a great church you can attend online every Sunday. Okay? Great church. Send me an email and I'll let you know about it. Okay? You don't have to do that, though. You also don't have to give anything to a church. You don't have to help old ladies across the street, although you probably should if they need the help. Things like that. Great. Do it, don't do it. That's not what's going to save you. What's going to save you is the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Please call on him today. Be reconciled to him. And so from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG Prophecy Report.